The trouble with a free gift is that we're still trying to figure out how to pay for it. Rather than simply opening it up every day and through the Holy Spirit, breathing the gift of God's love and God's Son Jesus, and finding ourselves in the company of our Heavenly Father. But the devil, you say, the devil, he doesn't want you to know the gift, to hold on to the gift, to love the gift, to share the gift. The devil, he's the father of all lies and liars. The devil made me do it, some people say. Or the devil is in the detail, some people say. The devil, you say? An expression of disbelief. And let's face it, when we look at our scripture lessons for tonight, it is disbelief, it is unbelief, it is belief in the wrong thing, the wrong one. We put our faith in ourselves like Adam and Eve, and that creates a mess that leads to the grave. When in fact, God wants us to put our faith, the faith that He gives us in Jesus through the Holy Spirit, in Him alone. And that gives us life, abundant life, forever life, eternal life. The devil, you say? Yes. God is in the detail, and God is making atonement for our sin. One man's trespass leads to death for all, but one man's righteous act on the cross, God's gift of Himself, His Son, leads to forgiveness and eternal life for all. What a gift! The free gift, the free gift, the free gift, the free gift, the free gift of God for you. You can't pay for it, but once you receive it, then you're going to lose your life. That's a promise. But when you lose your life, you get the only life that really is life. As I've been living with the text this week, as I've been thinking about birthdays and anniversaries, I've been overwhelmed by this thought of you wouldn't have a marriage. You couldn't have a marriage as God intends it to be. You couldn't have a life if it didn't have Jesus in it. Oh, we could pretend, because that's what the devil does. He's a great big pretender. If you've read any of C.S. Lewis's stuff, you know about Aslan. That's why St. Peter says, your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith. Because the devil is what? He's a pretend Aslan. He's a pretend lion from the tribe of Judah. He's a murderer from the beginning. Don't be deceived. Adam and Eve, they were led astray. The devil, you say. Yeah, the devil. I mean, not dressed in red and horns and a pitchfork and a long tail, but make no mistake, the devil is real. And we hear about him in the Old and the New Testament. And when we start to pretend that he doesn't exist and he's not out to devour us like a roaring lion, when we forget the words of St. Paul to the church at Ephesus, remember what Paul says? We're not battling against flesh and blood. If we were, that'd be easy. Just get a few more people, get a few more weapons, give them a black eye before they give you one. No, we're battling against the wiles, the treachery, the deceit, the cunning of the evil one. John chapter 8, Jesus says, you know who your daddy is, right? They said, oh yeah, Father Abraham. No, Abraham, he bore witness to me. Your deeds reveal who your daddy is. Your father is the devil, the one who lies and lies and lies. He conceives liars. That's his business. Treachery, deceit. Don't take the bait. Last December, after Christmas, my wife and I, we got a chance to go out and see our son and his family in Connecticut. And when we arrived there, we found out that they had some kind of an intruder. in the attic. Well, they had to figure out what it was. Is it some squirrels? Is it mice? What? Rats? What's up there? So my son, he went out and he got 6 mouse traps from the dollar store. Put some cheese on some, put some peanut butter on some, put them up there. Didn't want to kind of scare the little girls, you know, our granddaughters. Next day we said, so, you get anything? He said, they licked it clean. Those mischievous mice, huh? Dropping their messes all over the place. They licked it clean. Didn't even set off one of those traps. I remember growing up on the farm, I had to outthink them. I had to be more creative. I'd kind of put the traps, you know, several of them together so that maybe they would end up stepping on one. But they're tricky. So then he thought, okay, I better do some research on this. And he found out that their favorite food is peanuts. So you take peanuts in a shell, and then you smash them up into a little piece, and you put that on there. The next day, those peanuts were all gone. Sneaky little devils, huh? Sneaky little devils. Make no mistake, the devil is sneaky. And you let down your guard, I guarantee you, you're going to have a mess on your hands. And not just mouse droppings. Well, the third time he tries it, because my son, you know, he's a physics major. He teaches AP physics, so he's pretty smart. He's got to outsmart those mice. He read that somebody had used the hot glue gun and glued that peanut down on the trap. The next morning, he had like 4 mice. And then, not wanting to reuse them. I mean, I grew up on a farm where we didn't waste things. So we reused those traps. But he said, no, I'm going to go out and I'm just going to throw those and get some more traps. Make sure I clear those little scoundrels out of the attic. They took the bait. They took it and took it and took it and didn't get caught in the trap. But with a hot glue gun, they were going after it and couldn't get it, and they set it off and they lost their lives. Be careful. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around. He's a roaring lion. He's seeking someone to devour. You've got to resist him. That's why we're here tonight. A lot of people say, not a big deal. Miss church? Who cares, right? It's just 1 week. It's just 1 day. I'll tell you what. I tell you the truth. Stay in the Word. That's what Jesus tells us tonight in our gospel reading. Stay in the Word. Stay in prayer every day. Because when Paul says to the Ephesians, we're battling against the wiles of the devil, he says, put on the whole armor of God. And then he says, you've got 2 weapons. The Bible, the Word of God, is the sword of the Spirit. And pray, and pray, and pray. I mean, that's how he ends Ephesians. Stay in prayer. Stay in the Word. Because the devil is sneaky. And if you let down your guard and you expose your buttons, he's going to go after you. He will. He doesn't want to worship God, and he doesn't want you worshiping God. I mean, look at the gospel reading for tonight. He does not want anyone worship but himself. So when you are here, oh man, that's like a major slap in his face. He can't stand it. He doesn't like it when people worship God and receive the sacrament of the body and blood of Jesus. He can't take it. So be careful. You let your guard down when you leave, he's going to come after you. I mean, there was a big target on the back of Jesus, and if we are living in Christ and Christ is living in us, abiding, do we not think that we're going to have a target on our backs? That we're going to be in his scope, or that we're going to be in his sight? It's the truth. It's the truth. From the very beginning. I mean, look at our first reading for tonight. We don't get chapter 2, verse 24. Therefore, a man leaves his father and mother, cleaves to his wife, and they become one flesh, and they were naked and not ashamed. Talk about marriage. Huh? I mean, this was beautiful. This was good. Naked and not ashamed. And then you get to our reading for tonight. Because The devil, the ancient serpent, the snake in the garden, craftier than all the rest of the creatures, comes up to Eve. Now, gymnastics had reminded us of a quote recently when I was in Florida from Martin Luther. He said, you know why Luther said that Satan went after Eve? Because Adam would have been too easy. Yeah, I think Luther's right. What is Adam doing the whole time? He's just standing there right by her. Big smile on his face, crying out loud. He was created to be her protector. Read Genesis 1, 2, and 3. Adam was created to be the protector of his wife. And he stands there and lets this crap happen. And did you see how subtle the serpent is? Satan goes right away for theology. He has a theological conversation with Eve and says, I'm guessing that God didn't put this in writing, right? So let's see how good we are at remembering exactly what God said. Did God say you couldn't enjoy any of the fruit here in the garden? I mean, there's a lot of trees. There's a lot of good fruit. And Eve says, well, no. In fact, we can eat anything we want to, but there's this one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and God said, don't eat it and don't touch it. Whoops, the first revisionist. I mean, when people start messing with God's word, Eve does, right in the very beginning. That's what people do. They start messing with God's word, right? And we're not supposed to even touch it, because if we do, we're going to die. And Satan says, die? Are you nuts? You're not going to die? This is called eye-opening fruit. This is called better-than-glasses fruit. You eat this fruit and you're going to be able to see all things clearly. I mean, you're going to be able to see that you don't need God. You can walk right beside God, or if you want to, you can even be a peg or two above Him. I mean, that's what God's afraid of. Thank goodness we had this time for a conversation, Eve, so that I can set you free, so that I can liberate you from this junk. He's just oppressive, this God. He doesn't want you to have any fun. I mean, it's just one lie after another. And it's like what William Willimon, a former chaplain at Duke University and a Methodist bishop and stuff, he said, we raise our kids in Sunday school, confirmation, and they come to church, and they've got pastors, and they've got moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, all kinds of people to teach them the Word of God. And then we send them off into these wonderful universities and colleges. And then the first thing the professor does to an 18-year-old, 19-year-old, 20, 21-year-old says, I'm sure that grandma had good intentions. I'm sure your grandpa, probably in his day, but you know there's been a lot of research and a lot of things. And your pastor has been around for how long since he's been in seminary? Thank goodness you're here in college now, because I'm going to teach you to think for yourself. Talk about a lie. You're going to trust a professor that you don't know from Adam rather than your baba, your grandpa, your grandma, your mom, your dad, your pastor? It's just crazy. Takes these kids right down the toilet, and Satan says, let me flush it. That's what's happening in Genesis 1. I mean, you look at it and you're thinking, there is no way that somebody would turn their back on their Creator, the one that gave them the breath of life, the one that gave them birth, the one they know, and to start listening to this snake? I mean, that would be absolutely nonsense. And what happens? Not just in Genesis, what happens today? See, that's why Paul says, the one sin, all sin. This is our story. It'd be really nice to point fingers and say, man, Adam and Eve, they really goofed up and blew it. But we got all kinds of people right now in the 21st century in Rochester and the surrounding area, down in Texas, Arlington. I mean, they're all over the place that are being duped because we don't want to hold on to the word that God has given us, and we want to start trusting people we don't even know, as though somehow they have our best interest at heart? Of course they don't. All they want to do is dupe us and deceive us and lead us astray. So Adam is standing there just watching, big grin on his face. He doesn't have a clue. She eats, and nobody has to twist his arm. Adam eats too. Paul says the woman was deceived, but Adam sinned. Adam was responsible. And what do they do? Remember, in marriage they were naked and not ashamed? Now they're ashamed. Guilt does that. Real guilt brings real shame. And then they hide. And God, who just loves spending time with his creation, is just taking an evening stroll. You feel the breeze? Kind of like Alabama, 81 degrees, right? Yeah? Okay. Almost too hot. You got to be in air conditioning, right? And he's just out there in a nice little stroll, and he's thinking, what in the world? Where are they? Adam, Eve, where are you? We're over here in the trees. Well, why are you doing that? Well, because we're naked. What? Who told you were naked? Did you eat the fruit of the tree that I commanded you not to eat? I mean, you can feel the heart of God just being poured out there. Oh my gosh. Why would they do that? I mean, you know, your parents or parents, grandparents, you know what an agony it is when you see your kids do something, you're thinking, they didn't do that. Please tell me. I mean, I thought we raised them better than that, right? I mean, it eats away at a parent when that happens. And then God is giving Adam and Eve a chance to repent. It's beautiful. I mean, it really is. They can come clean, but they don't. You saw what they did. Adam says, well, it's that nasty woman you created. If you hadn't created her, if you, God, hadn't done this, right? I mean, if God didn't put the tree in the garden, if God didn't create the woman, right? And then, what do you got to say for yourself, Eve? Well, you know, if you didn't create that snake who beguiled me, pass the buck, blaming, victimization, still happens, doesn't it, in the 21st century. Not my fault. No one wants to own it, but they could have. This is the season of Lent. We can own it. We can say, it's me, God. I did it. I'm guilty. I deserve death. The wages of sin is death. I deserve what I'm getting. All I can pray for, Lord, is for your mercy. Because I did this. And if you can forgive me, I could have a clean slate and a fresh start. But they don't do that. And when the story comes to an end, you get all kinds of consequences. The snake's going to crawl in the dust. And Adam and Eve are going to have difficult labor, having kids, producing crops. There's going to be a messianic prophecy. You heard it. The descendant of the snake is going to bite the heel of the seed of Adam and Eve. And the seed, Messiah, is going to stomp on that scoundrel and destroy Satan once and for all. The devil, you say? Yeah, for sure. Because God is in the detail. And God provides the atoning sacrifice as the greatest giver of all. Don't take the bait. I heard about a tribe in Africa. They were hungry. They wanted to capture ducks that were on the river. how to do it, because those ducks were smart. And when they saw something that wasn't right, well, they would start quacking and they'd fly off where it was safe. Ah, they figured it out. They took a pumpkin, a big pumpkin. They floated it down the river. It went there, and when the ducks saw it, quack, 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 and they flew off. They knew this was a problem. They weren't going to be deceived. But those tribesmen were persistent. They went back up. They floated another one of those pumpkins down. And quack, quack, and they flew off. And they, a third, and a fourth, and a fifth. They kept doing it, one pumpkin after another. And pretty soon, guess what happened to those ducks? They were no longer on the guard or on the alert. Those pumpkins, they became just a normal part of life. And these tolerant quackers, boy, did they get duped. Because after they no longer worried about those pumpkins in the water floating by, the tribesmen from Africa, they carved out the pumpkins, put them on their heads, went down through the water, meandering, right next to the ducks, one by one, picking them off. And for supper, roast duck. That's what happens when we don't pay attention to the ancient serpent, the devil who's the father of all lies. And Jesus in our gospel, after he is baptized, is led by the same Spirit into the wilderness. There are three temptations, and all three times he goes to Deuteronomy, the final sermon of Moses, and says, it is written, it is written, it is written. And, of course, you get Satan knows Scripture too. I mean, we talked about that in the gift session tonight. But be careful when you're reading the paper, because just because they say they're a pastor, a couple of pastors writing in this today's paper, right? Be careful, because they're going to deceive you. And people say, yeah, but they're quoting Scripture. Well, Satan can quote Scripture for crying out loud. Psalm 91, take a leap of faith, Jesus. Feed the world, Jesus. They call it on the computer system clickbait. You know those little teasers on the news? You see that and it sounds so enticing and you click on it? Jesus doesn't click on the bait. He doesn't take the bait. He stands on the word, stands on the word, stands on the word. It is written, it is written, it is written. Well, I'll give you all the kingdom. The only kingdom Jesus is interested in is the kingdom of God. That's it. Worship me. That's what the devil wants. The devil, you say? Yeah, that's the only thing he's interested in. Being worshipped and taking people that want to worship God away from the sanctuary. Did you notice how the gospel reading ends? I love it. I absolutely love it, because we're baptized, we hear the voice of God. Are we going to believe it? This is my beloved Son. With this one, I'm well pleased. At the very end, the third temptation, Jesus says, "Begone, Satan. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Begone, Satan. You know what that really is, I think? Go to H-E-L-L. Scram. Luther, he knew what he was doing. When the devil would tempt him, you know what he said? I roll over and I fart in his face. He was earthy, Luther. He really was. You can't keep the birds from flying overhead, but you can keep them from nesting in your hair, Luther said. He was talking about temptation. And so whenever the devil came after him, he said, "Scram, Satan, go back to H-E-L-L. I am baptized. I belong to Jesus. And I'm going to listen to the voice of God. I'm not going to listen to the lies of the ancient serpent. And neither will you, because you're baptized. And God has placed his mark on you. And God has given you His Son. The giver gives you the gift. And with that gift, Jesus, the free gift, the free gift, the free gift, the free gift, the free gift. With that gift comes the forgiveness of your sins and life everlasting. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise as we are able. Hymn number 229, Martin Luther, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God.